When you're feeling sheepish about where to get the best stuff online, never fear when you shop at Amazon.com. Get the best deals on everything you need and help support Rob Has a Podcast. When you start your Amazon shopping with our link, robhasawebsite.com/Amazon. Hey, everybody. What's going on? Rob Cesternino here with another Amazing Race exit interview. And today we're going to be talking with Team Firefighters / Team Dunder Mifflin, Michael and Scott. We are going to be speaking with them about their departure from the Amazing Race 25, eliminated in episode number 3 after Scott had the very bad injury to his ankle. And then ultimately they got some bad directions and ended up going the wrong way in Scotland, becoming the latest team to get eliminated on the Amazing Race. So we'll be bringing them in just a little bit. Friday night, of course, we did our live Amazing Race wrap-up show. Myself and Jessica Leese, we talked about the race live, and we do that every Friday night at 9:15 p.m. Eastern Time. And of course, we have lots more coming up every single week for you guys on Rob Has a Website. So make sure you're subscribed, robhasawebsite.com/iTunes. All right. So it looks like we have Michael and Scott on the line. Let's go ahead and patch them in. Guys, are you there?
Hey, Rob, how are you? How you doing?
Hey, Rob, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. How are you guys?
We love your podcast.
Yeah, we listen to your podcast, Rob.
You do?
Yeah.
Oh, thank you, guys.
Well, we watch you on the podcast.
Exactly.
You know? How are we doing
you
so far?
You and your friends out there.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, you're a great source of information for anyone trying for the Amazing Race.
Oh, definitely.
You guys have great analysis.
Oh, well, thank you very much. Flattery will get you everywhere, guys.
Oh, hey.
The truth shall set you free.
Something's got him, Rob.
Hey, Rob.
Yes.
We've heard some of your analysis, obviously, and we don't disagree with some of what you've said. But, you know, there's only so much that can be put in 44 minutes. And we did not perform up to the standards. I know you said we had a lot of things, back to the wall and all that, but we try to encourage each other. When other teams were breaking down, this is Michael, when other teams were breaking down, we weren't. And I think you're going to see some issues in future episodes. So, nobody came here to get eliminated.
Start off. And, first off, could we get an update on the ankle? How is that feeling?
Yeah, it's hanging in there. It was a high ankle sprain. It's been pretty bad. I skated a lot to, get ready for, the race and stuff like that, play hockey and things like that, and haven't been able to get back on my feet there, but, you know, working through it. And it was just, you know, I played a lot of football in my life. I never get injured, and I get injured in some street corner in the middle of the night in England. I don't know.
How long did that take to heal?
It took a while, pretty long time. It blew up big, and I turned it a few more times during the sheep thing. But make no mistake, that was no reason why we failed that last day. It really came down to directions, and they put us so far off the map that we were ahead of the game in a lot of that day. It was just that I was gonna persevere no matter what through the ankle, you know.
Okay, so take us back to when you guys are trying to figure out where the pin was founded, and you guys end up going to the pub where a lot of the other teams go to the museum. Was there any thought of going to the museum, or you figured, hey, might as well, I'm in Scotland, let's check out this pub while we're here?
No, Rob, we appreciate that. This is Michael. We appreciate your line of questioning. But we had come out of the farm, and you either go straight or you take a left. We knew if we took a left, we'd get into the town. And so we actually pulled into a parking lot that said museum parking. And so our plan was to find the museum.
The first thing that we both had said to each other is, let's get to the museum.
Right. We assumed it was a Viking brooch. We were correct. And for Scott to get in and out of that car, it took some work. The ankle was a lot worse than you saw on TV because of flipping it two more times in the sheep pen.
And it looks pretty bad on TV.
We ran into a hotel, a three-star hotel, and the woman didn't know what it was. We thanked her, and we were continuing to find the museum. We have to stay together, obviously. We can't leave one another. And, you know, we're slowed down, but we're not stopped. Yeah. And I can't run ahead and do a reconnaissance and run around the corner and find this place. So, you know, there were a lot of hills. And so the next building was a bar. It was daytime. Two women in there. They were old women. They worked in there. They didn't know what it was. And there was a guy, we believe to be the owner. He was fixing some equipment. And he gave us the whole history on the brooch and told us they found it on another island. They're Viking finds.
I mean, he was dead on everything. So we, you know, clearly thought that his directions were going to be the way to go. And it's not like we went into a bar where everyone was stew bums drinking all day long. They were setting up the night and whatever else. They, you know, these people were locals. And ideally, we wanted the museum, but when it didn't pop out right in front of us, we had to go with where, you know, whatever was close to try to figure out, you know, where we might be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is Michael. We had the other guys we assume were right on our tail there, Tim and TJ. So we had to work fast. We can't keep asking directions for people because that slows you down. And it seemed as though, you know, all of his information was right. When we got to the place he sent us to, they did make them up there, and they do have them. They showed us exact replicas. And so we thought maybe it was a play on words and foundry. We didn't come up with that word. He did. He said, there's a foundry up there where they make them. We said, well, that's what it must mean. The clue said, where was it found? Not where was it discovered.
Got it.
And so, you know, it's kind of misleading. There are a lot of double entendres in these clues. And so it wasn't that far for a car to have a rent-a-car in an island. You know, not everything's going to be within a block. And we made it out there in about 40 minutes. Considering we had just done three train rides and a ferry to get to this site, that wasn't far. So I mean, it looks kind of comical, but it wasn't, you know.
This is Scott, and I know sometimes it looks like we might have been a little aloof and slow, but I assure you, we beat the wrestlers to the beach, and we were good. You couldn't even see their boat in front of us. I mean, we moved when we moved. It was unfortunate that we didn't get the rhythm that we wanted to get going. And I think kind of how we got hurt was the fact that we were pushing it hard at every chance we could. And that was important to us to try to, you know, get as much time back because we were behind the whole time.
Yeah, for those first teams that got the cabs out of New York City and got lucky and got cab drivers that knew where they were going, when ours didn't know where the New York Mets stadium, the old stadium was, the JFK airport.
Yeah.
I mean, we actually jumped out of one and went to a second cab. That's how that whole first crew got ahead. And they're not that much better. They got into a good rhythm because they got a good cab and everything kind of flowed. They weren't under pressure. They didn't have 10 teams behind them.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you're chasing the dog chasing the tail, you know, you've got to keep moving, and then that kind of limits your options. And that's what's happened at our sites. We were in a good spot in England. We were running. Scott was reading the map.
I mean, we got to sixth
place. Reading the street.
We got to sixth place, and we were 4 hours behind every team. That was a hard thing for us to do. And we were going to, I believe that if we didn't get injured and other things didn't happen, we would have been in first place. I mean, we had been through a lot of stuff. We never give up. We hang in
there. We
weren't
4 hours. We were 9 hours behind some of them.
Yeah, but what I mean is we were set distance behind all the other teams that, you know, people counted us out then. But it was just unfortunate how it kind of came to the end, how we pushed it, and it didn't work out in our favor. But, you know, we're not ego guys. We're team guys. You know, we were in for penny and for pound. If we're going to fail, we fail together. If we win, we win together. That's how we were, and that's how we hope to present ourselves.
Yeah. I know it sounded like we threw out some stupid terms and all that stuff. And, you know, when it's edited, it honestly, it does sound that way. And, you know, I agree with you on a lot of what you said. But the fact is, we try to find the positive in things. And, you know, if you're around negative people, or whether it's a negative boss, or I'm sure some people have told you the podcast wouldn't take off. But you persevere and you go through it.
A lot of people. Yeah, they still do.
And you make it a success. Yeah. Yes.
All right. So let me go back to the week one, because there was a big incident that ended up happening between you guys and the Miami Realtors. Now, do you guys want to give your side of the story on Taxigate?
Oh, yeah, well, and I thought it was Penn Gate, too.
Let's get this out straight. Before we even knew them, obviously, you know, we were in a big competition. Those two girls are dynamite, great people, hardworking people, and a great, you know, they've since become friends. We're lucky to have them as friends. But I understand, and it may have looked like there were malice. It was a malice. We were really working hard to try to win, and you know, them taking the pen earlier in the day, you know, it kind of put it kind of came back on them, I think, and it came worked to our advantage in the end, which was
crazy. This is Michael. I'll just explain what happened with the Cavs. Was we were running, and I could have come in equal with Keith and Whitney for the first cab, but tactically it didn't make sense to fight over the same cab, because one of those people would have ended up in cab number three, because two teams weren't getting in the same cab. So why fight for number one when you can grab number two? You only had to survive at that point, and it was just going to be second. So I jumped in number two. I was in there before anybody. Lisa came in, and at that point, the cab
and
was occupied.
I was literally right behind him. So there was no, there was really, I don't even know. Their only attempt to jump in, I think, was to try to take over the cab, but we had already kind of pretty much controlled the cab. So,
yeah, we were there. I'm not sharing a cab with the team you're trying to defeat.
Yeah.
And we didn't know them at the time. And, you know, hey, listen, everyone's prepared hard for almost a year and worked hard and studied and prepared. Nobody wants to go home at first. Nobody wants to go home early, but least of all the first day. And any one of these tasks could have flipped anyway. Yeah. And, it's just the way it is. And you're digging on that beach. Those guys were wiped out. Scott would have kept going. And I talked about the 4 hours.
That's the thing. I never wanted to take the 4 hour thing initially. I knew that the other teams, when they came to me, I was going to keep digging. But it made sense in the end for us all to go on and do this. And they were hard competitors. These guys, they were a great group of people. I mean, and it was just one of those things where it worked out with a lot of drama. It was pretty much, that's I think what you get when you get a lot of type A personalities going towards the same goal, you know?
Okay. We got a few minutes left. Let's go through quickly with a couple of things. Let's just talk about the sheep challenge. How long did it ultimately take you guys to get the sheep into the pen?
This is Michael. It took over an hour. The problem wasn't so much the pen initially, it was trying to get all of them down through the through those white gates.
Yeah.
And if we didn't get every one of them through at the same time, then we had to start over. So we had to push them all the way back and come all the way back around. And they're pretty agile creatures.
And I'll tell you, that was the one time where the ankle, that was tough and rolling little balls of dirt. It was very difficult. I turned my ankle like 5 or 6 times. Again, not making excuses for it. We persevered around it, but the whole thing was, it was like, it was like doing it on the surface of the moon. I think it was a very difficult landscape there.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we beat Tim and TJ by a substantial, as it turned out, by a good amount, by maybe 45 minutes. And, but we were sent so far out of the way that we had to assume some other people were sent out of the way. You know, usually when
that's
one gets
we
bad directions, everybody does.
Yeah.
Do you guys know how far behind Tim and TJ you were to the mat?
About a half hour or so.
Okay. That's not too bad. That's close finish.
No, we would have beaten them by probably an hour or 45 minutes had we gotten the right directions. We had to go 50 miles to get back to where we started.
Yeah.
This is Scott. The attention to detail that, you just got to always, reading the clues and attention to detail is so important. And those are the two things that we had a little bit of a breakdown with, that attention, with the directions. And sometimes those things you just can't get over.
Well, we did read the clue. We did have attention to detail.
Yeah.
It wasn't that. We got bad directions. We have to rely on people. It looked like, everyone went in a museum. Well, the scientists didn't go in a museum. They had some guys who were working there. We asked some local people. The guy had the information. We did not ask drunks. We did not ask people who were boozed up. It was the middle of the day, and we asked the guy who owned the business, who's from this island.
Yeah.
And I can tell you a lot of history about Boston. And, I could be sitting in a bar. It doesn't mean, someone's got to own the business, and that's what we went to. We couldn't run to where the museum was.
Yeah.
Physically, we were limited.
All right, real quick, how much Amazing Race had you guys seen before you went on the show?
We've seen a great deal, especially preparing it. But I've always been a fan. I mean, it's kind of funny how our beginning kind of ended. It was like the end of another fire department, the other fire guys that had been on there kind of failed, where we were able to persevere. It was kind of an ironic ending how that went down. I thought that was interesting.
Okay.
Wow. I mean, listen, how much the Amazing Race is kind of not hypnotic, but addictive.
Oh, yeah.
Because
yeah.
no one knows anybody. You say, who are these clowns going on there? And then you start to, you know, everyone kind of gets a team or teams that they prefer and they like. And it's just, we feel that we let people down.
No.
And honestly, I'm going to tell you, we did let people down. We didn't perform up to our standards and we didn't look as prepared as we were. Honestly, and make no excuses, I'm pretty upset with how we came out in all of this. We came on the show to raise money for the Wounded Warriors. And we came on the show, and I personally came on to thank the people who stood by us. I know you hear all this Boston crap. I don't blame you. I'm sick of it myself in a lot of ways because everyone from this region says they're from here. I grew up in this city. I'm sitting in the downtown Boston right now in my car. And I saw some stuff a while ago. And I wanted to thank America for standing by us. That's why I went on the show. And we wanted to, and we figured we'd put the money to good use, which was to help the Wounded Warriors. It wasn't to look like some bumbling fools that were out of place. And it wasn't to look like we didn't belong
there. I don't 100% think that we look like that either. I just think that, you know, we improvised and we moved towards what had happened. We had some things, roadblocks, things thrown in our face. And we, you know, we tried, in the end, we didn't quit. We didn't give up. You know, I'm not necessarily proud with the fact that we didn't go further, but you know, this was what happened, and we have to, you know, own it and know that, you know, we were blessed to have the opportunity, and maybe some people will get, you know, will be inspired by some of this.
Yeah. Hey guys, I know you got a lot of interviews to get to, and you got to run, and look, bad luck happens on these shows. I don't think anybody thinks you guys weren't trying your hardest. And hey, cheer up. Thursday night football on CBS. The Jets are coming to Foxborough. Easy win for you guys. Yeah, okay. Cheer up.
Hey, Rob, you guys do a great job. That's quite a podcast you have. And that would be recommended for anyone watching The Amazing Race to listen in, because your insight is right on the money.
I enjoy watching it, and I'm a fan. So,
yeah. Yep. Well, thank you guys so much. All the best to you both.
Thank you. Yeah. Say hello to all your fans, Boris. We appreciate their support. We really do. None of this would be possible without them.
You just did. Thanks so much, guys. Bye.
Thank you, sir.
All right, everybody, there you have it. That was Michael and Scott. And boy, I feel bad because you can tell that they really are upset about how they ended up finishing up. And unfortunately, you know, we only get 15 minutes and I know that they have to run. So we didn't really have more time to explore it. But, you know, I'm sure that they really do feel like they let people down. And, you know, I'm sure that's really not the case. As much as we love to root for people that are from our area or people that we have something in common with, or just people that we like, you know, I don't think that anybody should ever feel like they let people down or need to be embarrassed about how they're doing. And I'm sure if you would have talked to me around the time of, say, Survivor All-Stars, I probably would be feeling very similarly to how Michael and Scott ended up feeling. But, you know, you hate to hear people feel bad about themselves from things that happen on these shows. But I'm sure it's a lot of pressure that we put on ourselves, and everybody goes on there and thinks that they're going to be the winner, and that's what's going to happen. So, you know, very tough to, you know, when you're going through that sort of stuff. So my heart goes out to those guys, and especially because they had such noble intentions with going on to the show. But unfortunately, that's what happens. That's why it's high pressure on The Amazing Race and Survivor and Big Brother and all these things. Okay, so a big week coming up as usual on Rob Has a Podcast. I'm going to get ready to talk to my good friend Angie Kontz later on today. We're going to talk about some of her Kontz types that she has developed. These are categories that she puts every single Survivor contestant of all time into based on their probability to win. So we're going to talk to her that she has scouted Survivor 29 and will give her thoughts on who the potential winners could be based on her findings. That's going to be up Monday afternoon on robhasawebsite.com. Of course, then Kurt Clark and I, the Tabulator, are going to get into talking about Utopia as well later on tonight. So we got some catch up to do on Utopia. We're going to make a brand new start of recapping that show later on, now that it is on one time a week. Plus, then we'll get into all of the stuff for Survivor on Wednesday. Survivor Know-It-Alls will be back. I'll talk to the next person that gets kicked off of Survivor on Thursday. And then we'll do our big Survivor wrap-up with Eliza Orlins will be my guest this week. So I'm very much looking forward to that. And last night, of course, The Walking Dead came back. And if you're a fan of that show, check out my recap with Josh Wigler on post-show recaps. Lots of fun. Very, very good premiere for Walking Dead season number 5. So, all right, that's going to do it for me today. Have a great week, everybody. Let us know what you thought about the interview with Michael and Scott in the comments, and we'll talk to you again soon. Take care. Bye.